Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour mystery, later on we hear Les Tremaine and the Adventures of the Thin Man, but right now it's Edmund O'Brien, starring as yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This CBS episode, heard on April 7th, 1951, called The Edward French Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Edmund O'Brien as Johnny Dollar. Oh, I'm sorry for my explosive greeting, Mrs. French. It's a habit I've gotten into. This is Mr. Dollar from the insurance company.
Oh, yes, I received a message that you'd called. But I don't think I understand. You're coming to Chicago.
Well, I guess they haven't got around to writing you about it. They sent me here to talk to you about your son.
I see.
And then if we decide there are grounds for your fears about him, they've given me authority to go out to the Malay States and investigate the situation.
Oh, that's very nice of them. I am afraid for Edward.
I'll come out to see you about 1:30 then, Mrs. French.
Edmund O'Brien in a transcribed adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office Tri-State Insurance Group, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Edward French matter. Expense account item 1, $95, airfare and incidentals between Hartford and Chicago, the home of Edward French's mother. There the story went about as follows. Edward French had left the States after the war and gone to the Malay States, where he managed a tea plantation, concentrating on sales to a buyer for the Jewel Tea Company. He'd married an English girl, and their life seemed pleasant enough, but a letter from a Constable Wicklow had reported the abrupt end of that. Edward, on a business trip to Singapore, had disappeared. The current crop of Malay guerrillas was suspected, but there was not one clue as to whether he was alive or dead. Expense account item 3, $1,283 airfare to Singapore. It was almost a week later that I jostled my way through the crowded streets to the office of the Jewel Tea buyer, Mr. Neath.
In all its odd, Mr. Dollar, you won't believe this, but I was thinking of Ed just as you walked through that door.
You knew about the disappearance?
Oh, yes. Constable from Raub sent word down a week after he'd been here.
Oh, Mr. French did come here after he left his plantation.
Yes, we finished our business in the afternoon and went to dinner at the club that night. He left the following morning.
Did you hear from him the following morning?
Well, no, but I knew that was his plan. Actually, I wasn't worried about him even after I heard about it. Ed's, not peculiar, I guess, but strong-willed. If 50 men told him not to swim across the river, he'd do it just to please himself. You get to expect the unexpected from him. I don't know if I make myself clear.
I think I understand.
Selfish, maybe, is a better word. What I mean is that it would be like Ed to suddenly leave for some place without bothering to tell anyone.
Not even his wife?
Well, first of all, not his wife. Now, don't misunderstand. I like Ed, but I can't help disapproving of some of the things, like the way he treats Catherine. But none of my business. I like him in spite of those things. I think Ed will show up when he gets ready to and laugh at the trouble he's caused.
You don't put any stock in the idea that the guerrillas might have got him, huh? Bandits, I understand you call them.
Yes, well, of course, there's always that possibility. A planter is killed now and then, but I'd expect Ed to be the last one.
If he just took off someplace as you suspect, would you have an idea where he'd go?
No, I'm afraid I wouldn't. It's a big world, you know.
Yeah. How do I get to Raub? I began to appreciate the state of siege British Malaya is living under when I boarded the train the next morning. All the windows in all the cars were covered with wood, hard and thick enough to withstand fair-sized bullets. At the stopping point near Raub, I was met by two native policemen armed with Bren guns who drove me the rest of the way in a jeep that had been encased in armor. There was no trouble, but by the time I reached the police station in Raub, I had a healthy respect for the dank wall of jungle that pushed in from all sides and the unseen enemy it hid. Because on the way, I was notified by the native driver that Constable Wicklow had been killed from ambush the day before. His replacement was Constable Downs.
Nasty business, cleaning them up. Poor Wicklow'd been at it for almost a year.
Well, it must have happened after I talked to the police in Singapore.
Yes, last night. They attacked a steward estate. That adjoins French's. Wicklow was killed on the way out with reinforcements. They'll single out the leader every chance they get.
What do you know about French's disappearance?
Very little, I'm afraid. I read Wicklow's report when I learned you were coming. Undoubtedly, the work of the bandit. Although it might appear to be kidnapping.
Kidnapping? That's a new theory.
Oh, hardly a theory yet. But it's not been their habit to conceal the bodies of their victims. This is the first case on record where a vehicle has been taken.
I didn't know about that either.
That's what Wicklow's report said. That's all I know about it.
Constable, I want to go out and talk with his wife. How do you...
Take the jeep, by all means. It's rather late in the afternoon to start out. If you can't be sure of getting back here before dark, well, there's hardly any possibility that you'll take a chance. The native boys simply won't start back. They'll stay behind the barricade there for the night, and so will you.
The French estate, like the others, maintained about 50 private soldiers who held defensive positions about the place 24 hours a day. By the time I got there, they had pulled in for the night and were manning a tight perimeter around the main house. As the jeep passed through it, I saw that they were fairly well armed with rifles, light automatic weapons, and grenades. In sight of all this, waiting on the veranda, and dressed as though she were about to leave for a cocktail party, Mrs. French looked entirely out of place. Mrs. French?
Yes?
Oh, didn't Constable Downs telephone about my coming? He said he would.
Constable Downs? I'm afraid he wasn't able to. Our telephone wires have been out.
Oh. My name is Dollar, Mrs. French.
How do you do?
I'm here from the States to investigate the disappearance of your husband.
The United States? I don't understand.
I was sent by the insurance company that carries the policy on his life. It's quite a big policy, you know.
Yes. Please, sit down.
Thank you.
Mr. Dollar, you must understand what our fears are, that Edward has been killed by the bandits.
There's no proof of that yet. As a matter of fact, Constable Downs seems to think there's a fair possibility that he hasn't been.
What did he say?
That they never bother to hide anyone they've killed, and your husband's body hasn't been found. Also, that they never steal cars, and your husband's car hasn't been found.
I haven't dared to help. What does he think it means?
I don't think he's sure, but he mentioned kidnapping. I didn't know until I talked to him that your husband had been in his car when he disappeared. Does that mean that he drove to Singapore?
Yes, he always drove.
Through more than 200 miles of jungle during an emergency like this? Why would he do that?
Because everybody told him that he shouldn't. My husband was like that.
You're convinced that he's dead, aren't you?
Well, I haven't dared to hope. I've thought the worst so that it's...
Mrs. French.
Where did they come from?
It's hard to tell. That way, I thought. Now, you'd better sit down, Mrs. French. Come on. Come on, sit down. About 15 minutes later, I thought I understood her violent reaction to the shots in the far distance. A small lorry pulled up in front of the house, and a blonde man of 30 or so years got out of it. He was introduced to me as Keith Stewart, manager of the adjoining estate. From one brief look that passed between Mrs. French and him, I thought I understood who she had been afraid for.
Well, I dare say that nobody would travel all the way out here if I caught it. You Americans are a surprising lot.
Yes, I suppose so.
And by the way, I very nearly did catch it.
We heard the shooting.
How many were there, Keith?
Hard to tell. As usual, I could scarcely see the beggars. But their number's not as important as the fact that they're still in the vicinity after last night. I'm afraid we shall have to expect another raid tonight.
The telephone lines have been cut.
Yes, I rather thought they had. I tried to call. That's why I popped over. I think we can expect them here tonight. Is that your jeep, Mr. Dollar?
Constable Downs let me use it.
I wouldn't try to return to Raub until morning if I were you.
Two hours later, it was dark. A double guard had been posted and floodlights flared out in a 200-yard circle around the house. There was a rather strange supper shared by Mrs. French, Keith Stewart, and myself. The association between the two was obvious to me by the time coffee was served, and the rest of it came out later that night. I couldn't sleep in the uneasy house, and at 11 I left my room to go get some air on the veranda. But they were already there, and what I overheard from inside the house just about settled the case as far as I was concerned. I was waiting for a definite statement when the conversation was interrupted.
They're here. Go inside, Captain.
What is it, Stuart?
Well, sir, did our little war awaken you?
I wasn't asleep. You said you had a weapon for me?
Yeah. Yeah. Go inside, Captain.
All right. Please be careful.
Right over here, Mr. Dollar. I have a gun of American manufacture. Are you familiar with the Thompson product?
Yeah, thanks.
You'll have to arm it. The chamber's empty. Now then, you're going out there with me?
That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Very good. Rather an odd way to carry on an insurance investigation, isn't it?
That's right. But you hardly call this an ordinary case.
We'll return you to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. There have been some changes made, and it's faster, it's funnier, it's got new life and brand new punch because Dan Murray's taken over. What show is this? Why, CBS's Saturday Night Musical Quiz, Sing It Again. That hour of melody, mirth, and money that's heard on most of these same CBS stations. Yes, Dan Murray is your new host. Alan Dale, Judy Lynn, the Riddlers, and Ray Block are your music makers. And there's still loads and loads of cash for identifying the phantom voice. Be sure to hear the new Sing It Again starring Dan Murray tonight on CBS. Now with our star, Edmund O'Brien, we return you to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Converge! Blaster, keep that lane covered. We've other guns to look about for targets.
There's a movement to the left, Stuart.
Good man. Two of them. Take them if you like.
There's 100 of them.
The main force, all right. Swing your fire! Shoulder! Concentrate on their rear. You two, Doc. Straighten them out! We'll be in the enfilade position.
Morning, Mr. Dollar. Bandit gave you a bit of a go last night, I'm told.
It was over by 2 a.m. I'm sorry I got your men into it, Constable.
Oh, nonsense. They're policemen. You brought them both back, didn't you?
Yes. The one bet we had was the boys from the estate.
Ah, beastly business. What about the bandits?
I don't know. I didn't state a count. There's been a development in the French disappearance that will probably surprise you.
Oh?
I overheard a private conversation between Stewart and Mrs. French. Or at least they thought it was private. I can think only one thing after hearing what they said. They're back of French's disappearance, not the bandits.
Oh, see here now.
I told you it'd be a surprise, but it's the truth.
You suspect that there's something between them?
More than a suspicion. I know that to be a fact.
Good Lord.
They talked about whether or not French knew about their association and whether or not he'd mentioned it to somebody who could have told me about it. She's afraid I'm suspicious of them, she said. What else could they have been talking about, Constable?
I don't know. Good Lord. Did it sound as though they'd killed him?
Yes, it did. But unfortunately, an overheard conversation isn't much in the way of proof.
No, no. Pity the body hasn't been found.
That would help. He didn't say so, but I sort of assumed that Stewart has a wife. Is that right?
Yes, he has. Rather a pathetic, sickly woman.
You can't say that about Mrs. French.
Oh, no, no. I suppose one couldn't.
I wonder if you could call Stewart into town for something this afternoon. Maybe a report on last night's actions. I'd like to talk to his wife.
Why, yes. Yes, I imagine I could. I'll ask two or three of the planters. As a matter of fact, I should arrange a meeting to discuss common defense. But good Lord, Dollar, this possibility is astounding.
It was almost too hot to move when Constable Downs opened his meeting The Rajiv to the Stewart estate was admitted to the room where Mrs. Stewart was resting, a pale, fever-ridden woman.
Mr. Dollar, you've traveled a great distance in order to ask questions. I find rather strange your hesitancy now that you are here.
There are some questions that are particularly hard to ask. They're about your husband, Mrs. Stewart.
Yes?
Do you know about your husband and Mrs. French?
Of course I've known. He's in love with her. And I don't care.
Has he spoken of divorce?
Under British law, Mr. Dollar, it was in my place to speak of divorce. Why do you ask?
I wondered if he or they had any plans for the future.
I assure you that any of Keith's plans for the future will include me. Unless he killed me. At times I wish he would.
Do you think Edward French knew about his wife?
I don't know.
Mrs. Stewart, I don't know if you really think your husband is capable of killing you, but it looks very much as though he did kill Edward French.
I hope he did. And I hope he's punished for it.
Can you think of anything that might help me prove that he did?
No. Oh, I wish I could remember.
French disappeared about a month ago. Evidently, he left Singapore in his car. If your husband killed him, he would have to have met him on the road back. Can you remember your husband leaving for any length of time about a month ago?
Yes. Yes, I do remember. A month ago, he left before noon in his lorry. He was gone for 2 or 3 hours.
Did he say where he'd gone?
No. I asked him. And he said he'd been inspecting the groves. But he was lying.
It was hard to know whether she was speaking the truth or what was manufactured by her hate for her husband. When I left her, I went back to the French estate. Mrs. French was reportedly too ill from the previous night's excitement to see me at the moment, and I was told to wait. I waited until an hour before dark, and then was faced not by the lady of the estate, but by Keith Stewart.
My wife told me about your visit, Mr. Dollar.
She did? I was hoping that she wouldn't.
I'm sorry that you bothered her. She's quite ill. At times, what she says is entirely no basis of reason.
Oh? She seemed to be all right when I saw her.
She told you that I killed Edward French. Do you think that's a reasonable statement?
She didn't tell me that.
And why should she say that she did?
Probably because I told her.
You told her?
Yeah.
Why would you think a thing like that, Mr. Dollar?
Because it doesn't look like natives work, for one thing. The body hidden, the car missing.
That doesn't necessarily follow, Mr. Dollar. A jungle animal might have made off with his body. An armored auto such as his could be sold quite easily for a great deal of money.
His body might also offer proof of who killed him. The car, too, possibly.
I'm afraid you're in error, Mr. Dollar. Edward was killed by bandits.
How do you know that?
Considering the number of deaths attributable to them, I think it's safe to assume.
You're in love with his wife.
I make no secret of that, sir.
You made no secret of your conversation with her last night, either.
What do you mean?
I mean on the veranda last night, just before the attack.
I see.
You told her there was nothing to worry about, if you'll remember. But you were wrong.
I'm afraid you were, too, Mr. Dollar. Spying is not looked upon with any amount of favor here.
It's not my usual method, but your stupidity made it almost unavoidable. How do you think the murder is going to be received?
I insist there was no murder, per se. Edward was killed by the bandits.
Keith.
Catherine, will you go back to your room, please?
No, Keith. I have a right to know what's being said.
Nothing is being said, my dear, that would be of any interest to you.
Why do you say that, Stuart?
I've been listening, Keith. I have a right to be here.
All right, my dear. As you know, then, we were discussing the possibility that I might have killed your husband. It's a groundless discussion, since even if Mr. Dollar were convinced that I had, there would be the matter of proof.
I've been expecting that.
And you have a solution?
Not at the moment, but let me tell you this. I have Constable Downs convinced, too. He arranged the meeting of you planters this afternoon only to give me time to talk to your wife.
Keith.
Please, Captain, be quiet.
The constable has probably radioed our suspicions to Singapore by now, so you can see that the ball is rolling, so to speak.
Catherine, be quiet. Go to your room, Catherine. It'll be better if you go to your room.
You can see she's ready to break down right now. I don't think you have a chance, Stuart.
She had nothing to do with it, Dollar. I'll accept full responsibility. We did fall in love. Edward was a beast.
That has nothing to do with it, has it?
If you'd known him, you'd realize that it had a great deal to do with it. He deserved to die. Life is cheap here in the Malay States. Good men have been dying. He wasn't a good man. He was a beast. And I took the emergency and used it to my advantage. To Catherine's advantage.
You met him when he came back from Singapore?
Yes, I drove my lorry to meet him. I feigned engine trouble, and when he got out, I shot him and drove away. But I didn't tell Catherine until after I'd done it.
Do you want to go into town to give your story to Constable Downs, or shall I send in for him?
I'll go in. If you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it if I could go to my estate first.
It's close to dark.
I'd appreciate it.
We'll go in the jeep then. I've got two armed men in there.
All right, Mr. Dollar. I won't say goodbye to Catherine. If we could leave now.
Oh, you're carrying an automatic. I'd better take that. All right, we can go now. It was too close to dark when we swung into the last mile of his estate. The jungle seemed to press in closer than ever. The orange sun had sunk below the trees by the time we reached the house. The guard was set, and I wondered if I'd spent another night with a Thompson in my hand. We walked into the house, and there faced a man I didn't recognize until Stewart screamed his name.
French! French, but how?
An emaciated Edward French, a scarecrow, half alive, and holding a pistol in his hand.
French! Edward!
Yes, Keith.
No, Edward, no!
You are Edward French?
Yes, I'm Edward French. I'm still alive. I stayed alive so I could come back and face the man who thought he'd killed me. How is Catherine?
Edward.
Is she happy thinking I'm dead? She should have known that I wouldn't die. I didn't die, Keith.
Keith was going in to give himself up, French.
He won't have to now.
Now, wait a minute. Let things go the way they're going.
I know how things are going. I don't know you, but don't try to stop me.
Edward, look, Edward, there's nothing I can say. Nothing I can say, but Edward, there must be something.
Give me that thing, French.
Sure. Here it is. Well, I've shown them a thing or two around here.
Yeah, you sure have. Expense account item 4, same as items 1 and 3, transportation back to the States and Hartford. Item 5, miscellaneous, $200. Expense account total, $2,739.50. Remarks? The story of French being left for dead and driving to a settlement hospital is too long to cover here. But he did, without letting anybody know who he was. The last I saw of him, he was being booked for murder himself. I had no idea that a cup of tea might have all this background. But I was there. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and is written by Gil Dodd with music by Wilbur Hatch. Edmund O'Brien's latest picture is the Paramount Pictures production, The Redhead and the Cowboy. Featured in tonight's cast were Jeanette Nolan, John McIntyre, Tudor Owen, Maria Palmer, and Dan O'Herlihy. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Dan Coverley inviting you to join us next week at this time when Edmund O'Brien returns as...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
For more adventure and mystery tonight, CBS brings you Hopalong Cassidy, Gangbusters, and Broadway Is My Beat on most of these same CBS stations. Stay tuned now for Larry Lesueur with 5 minutes of the latest news, which follows immediately over most of these same CBS stations. This is CBS, where you laugh at Jack Benny every Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 7th, 1951, on CBS. And that same year, star Edmund O'Brien would be seen on the small and big screens as Union Intelligence Officer Major Dunn Jeffers in The Redhead and the Cowboy alongside Glenn Ford and Rhonda Fleming, and on the small screen on the Pulitzer Prize Playhouse, where he starred in a broadcast called Icebound. It's an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, The Adventures of the Thin Man, starring Les Tremaine and Claudia Morgan as Nick and Nora Charles, in this NBC broadcast from July 13, 1948, called The Adventure of the Haunted Hams.
The New Adventures of the Thin Man, with Nick and Nora Charles, the happiest, merriest married couple in radio. Tonight, and every Tuesday night at this same time, that international favorite, Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, proudly presents the finest in summertime entertainment. So, sit back, relax, and pour yourself a tall, foaming glassful of blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. While you listen to the stars of our show, Claudia Morgan as Nora and Les Tremaine as Nick, in tonight's adventure of the Thin Man entitled The Haunted Hams. Every once in a while, a man's wife gets the idea that her husband needs a change. Of course, the conscientious little homemaker never suggests that her husband change his wife. Well, this evening, we find the great ex-detective Nick Charles in a car with his lovely wife, Nora, and his good friend, Ebenezer Williams, driving through the countryside.
Nicky, look at that moon come up over those trees. Can you see anything as beautiful as that in the city?
Yes.
Well, name it.
The moon over the polo grounds as the Giants and the Dodgers play a night game.
That just shows how badly you needed this change, doesn't it, Ed?
Yes, I reckon so. You've been working too hard, Nick.
Me? Working?
Yes. You got to get your nose out of that grindstone.
Ed, you, my partner, can say a thing like that?
Yeah. I got to get my nose out of the grindstone, too.
That grindstone's becoming crowded with noses.
Nora, the only thing we've had our noses in were comic books and detective stories.
That's right. Detective stories, comical books, detective stories. We was in a rut.
And you think we'll get out of it by going up to your farm, Ed?
Why, of course. It's about time we changed ruts. Ed.
Huh?
Ed, listen, there's a fire engine coming up behind you.
Oh, better pull over. I used to be a volunteer fireman around here in the days when I was sheriff.
Here comes the engine, Ed.
Yeah. Say, that's my old friend Newt, the fire chief.
Ed, he's stopping.
Yeah. Howdy, Newt.
Howdy, Ed. I thought that was you driving the car, and I stopped just to make sure. That's you, all right.
Reckon ain't nobody else.
Well, I'm awful glad to see you back, Ed.
Well, I'm glad to be back, Newt. Oh, this is my friends, Nick and Nori Charles.
Howdy, folks. It's nice to know you.
Are you going to or coming from a fire, Mr. Newton?
Going to, of course. Say, Ed, did you hear that Shad Simmons had a calf with two heads last April?
Well, what do you know?
Yes, but even with two heads, he ain't no smarter than one with one.
Is this a serious fire you're going to, Newt?
Well, I can't tell I get there, my friend. Say, Ed, did you hear about Methuselah Marbrain?
Don't tell me that he finally married Belle May Bogardus.
Well, they set the wedding for September, but postponed it.
Again?
Yeah, oh, dear.
After him being engaged to her for 15 years.
Well, they had a good reason, eh? Figured they'd wait till they was better acquainted. Didn't want to be hasty.
No. Marry in haste, repent.
And lose, yes.
Whose fire are you going to, Newt?
Well, I'm awful glad you remind me of that, Ed, now. Silas Salem's, he's got a fire tonight. Would you like to come along and help?
Well, yes, I reckon so.
Well, just let me get there first. That's all I request. It makes a better impression on the taxpayers. Well, it was a pleasant chat, Eb. I'll see you at the fire.
Yeah, I hope you fellas won't put it out before we get there, Newt.
Oh, have no fear, Eb. We'll wait for you. All aboard, boys! Let out roar!
Does he always dash to a blaze like that, Eb?
Newt... Well, he ain't exactly speedy, but we elected him because he was the only one that can play the tubi in the fireman's band.
Look, Nick, here's the fire.
Yeah, and it ain't Silas's house burning at all. It's just his old barn.
Well, come on, Ed. Maybe we can rescue some of his livestock. Hurry up, Nora.
I am, Nick. What do you mean, so anxious?
Well, now, don't ruin my fun, baby. Ever since I retired from being a detective, I've been dying to rescue something, even if it's a cow.
Hi, Newt.
Oh, hi there, Eb. Howdy, folks.
How's she burning, Newt?
Well, burning pretty good for a barn, Eb.
Have you got all the animals out of the barn yet?
Oh, yes, sure, yes. Had some awful queer-looking animals in there, though.
What kind?
Well, what you might call the shitty kind.
Dogs?
Well, that depends on your point of view. I heard them saying they'd been treated like dogs.
Oh, well, they're people.
That depends on your point of view, too. They're actors. Real, honest-goodness, live actors.
Where's Silas?
Oh, he went back to the farmhouse. He said he's got the barn insured, so there ain't nothing to worry about. He's been stabling them live actors because he says there's some kind of summer stock.
Oh, you mean they're a summer stock company.
Where is that fire chief? Where is he hiding?
That must be he over there, master.
Looking for me, Bob?
I certainly am. I am the director and producer of this company. I am Greg Noisky.
Well, I'm Newt Newton. Pleased to meet you, Mr. What'd you say your first name was?
You couldn't pronounce it. Just call me Greg Noisky. Listen, our theater's burning.
I'm very glad to meet you, Mr. G. This here's my friend, Eb Williams.
Hey, Mr. G.
Hello, Master Fire Chief. Aren't you going...
Mr. G, I'd like you to meet my friends here, Nick and Nori Charles.
Now, how do you do?
I'm doing terrible, thank you. Please, about that fire.
Ain't you going to introduce us to your lady friend, Mr. G?
This is Myra Mannix, our ingenue. Now, please...
Pleased to meet you, Miss Mannix.
Cheers, greetings, salutations, and all that sort of rot.
Oh, are you British?
No, but we're putting on a jolly old British play, you know. Mr. Newton, old boy, aren't you going to do something about our theatre? It's getting a bit overheated, you know.
What theatre?
The barn. We made it into a theatre. It's burning. Aren't you going to do anything about the fire?
Well, we're watching it, ain't we?
Watching it? You're supposed to put it out.
He's kind of excitable, ain't he, Eb?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, theatrical people, they got more nerves and voices than any other kind.
But the barn will burn to the ground!
Don't you want to put it out?
Why, of course not. Some of my boys might get hurt in a blaze like that. Besides, you can't put it out.
Why not?
Nature, my boy, nature. Too much fire and not enough water. But it sure looks awful pretty. Don't look at it.
Pretty? I'm going wacky. What?
Well, excuse me, folks. I'd better see to my boys. They're getting awful close to that fire. Don't you think so, Eb?
Yes, they might get a blister.
Oh, dear. Say, now look, Eb. You stay here for a little while and see none of them actor people interferes with the blaze. And if it begins to spread, you call me.
Yeah, sure. You going back to town, Newt?
Oh, yes, I think I should. There might be some other fires for us to look at.
Nick, he's leaving.
Yes. Well, they sure look dashing in those firemen's uniforms.
Say, Eb, how does the siren sound?
Great, great, Newt. Sounds just like an opera star.
Oh, that's good. It's a brand new one. Well, give her the gun, Willis.
Nick Norrie, that barn's practically burned to the ground now, so I reckon we can go.
All right, Ed. But I wonder what poor Mr. Gernoisky and his actors are going to do without a theater. Ed, you have a nice big barn on your farm, haven't you?
Yes, Ed, but don't say it so loud.
Oh, it's too late. Here comes Gradnoisky and his ingenue, and they've got an opening night gleam in their eyes.
Don't depart, Mr. Williams. Wait a moment.
Yeah, chums, we got great plans for you. Silas Salem says you've got a nice large barn. You great, big, mature Gary Cooper man, you.
Oh, I'm only human.
And such character in his face, like a ripe Gregory pig. Where do you keep your barn, and how much do you want for it?
Well, I don't know, folks. No, I wouldn't consider renting it. Not unless my business partner here says I should.
Oh? Ah, Nicky Wicky. Did anybody ever tell you you're gorgeous?
Yes, my wife.
Oh, that doesn't count.
With me, it does. I can't make up my mind without her advice.
Nora! Gradnoisky! You adore her!
But I do. Would you like to be worshipped? I can make your star overnight.
Well, I'm afraid we're not interested. You see, we came up here to get away from all the excitement and insanity of the city.
Madame, wouldn't you like to be a great star?
Well, every woman would like to be a great actress, but I'm different.
Well, if you won't help us, won't you at least listen to our tale of woe?
Tell me, have you ever heard of Floyd Fresnay?
Fresnay? Hasn't he something to do with the movie?
Why, yes, Nick. He's some sort of big-time agent.
He is a movie mogul, and he is backing this company. We are supposed to develop new movie stars, and when he finds out that we have no bar, oh, Myra, weep at them to show them how unhappy we are.
You mean no theater, no chance at Hollywood?
That's right, Nora. Of course, I despise the coast and the cinema with its pots of gold and lack of artistic standards.
But if Floyd Fresnay signed you up to go out there...
I'd gladly murder my dear grandma to get there.
Now, do you understand? We expect to see Floyd Fresnay any minute. He was going to come by for a dress rehearsal.
Hey, look, Grinoisky. Isn't that Mr. Fresnay's car now?
Yes. Myra, think of some brilliant excuse for this catastrophe.
Well, shall I tell him that we worked with an ardor so burning that the barn caught fire?
Hello there, FF. Greetings, Grinoisky. I have a wonderful explanation why the barn burned down. You've heard of the Chicago fire, no doubt?
Heard of it. I saw it. In Technicolor. Colossal.
Well, the same thing happened to us. Who would dream that there is a distant relative to Mrs. O'Leary's car?
Just a moment. No improvising. Everybody quiet. Who is she?
Nora Charles.
Come here, child.
Me?
Yes. Bare your teeth.
There.
Do they bite?
You ought to find out.
No.
Then get your hands off my face.
I'm just feeling the bony structure.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Who is he?
Her husband.
Get rid of him?
Listen, Fresnay, who do you think you are?
Tell me, my man. Does your wife have a figure as good as it looks?
What?
Well, you ought to know, does she?
I certainly have.
Grinoisky, this woman has the most photogenic face and figure I've seen in 20 years. She's a new Garbo. I want to see her give a performance in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, mind you. Find another barn. I'll pay all the bills. Adios.
Adios, FF. Nora, this is the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, and you'll be able to give us all a break.
Well, really,
Think of it, your name in life. Platinum swimming pool, sable underwear.
Do you think I'm a foolish, silly girl like all the other girls in the world?
Yes, you're patriotic, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Then think of this. Your income taxes alone will make the government rich.
Mr. Grinoisky, I'd love to help you and your friends, but... if you think I ever had any ambitions to be an actress, adored by the world, thrilling audiences, having my name and picture in the papers, just being too, too wonderful, you're absolutely right. Ev, how soon can we get the cattle out of your barn?
Listening to the new adventures of the Thin Man, presented for your summertime entertainment by the makers of that international favorite, Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. 2 weeks have passed since Nora was bitten by the acting bug, and we find her now studying her part in the play that the great Russian director Grinoisky and his actors are going to put on in Eb Williams' barn.
But I do think you're terribly, irresistibly smushing, Lord Cornish Simpleberry. A gay laugh. You think that last ha was a trifle phony, Nick?
I think the whole thing's phony.
Oh, well, you're just saying that because Grinoisky only gave you a small part and I'm playing the lead.
Nora, do you really want to become a movie star?
Do you think I'd be acting this silly if I didn't?
But, darling, despite Floyd Fresnay, you just can't be a star overnight.
Grinoisky thinks I can, and he knows much more about it than you do, dear. And don't talk to me this way. You get me out of the mood. How's that?
Sounds like a coloratura soprano gargling with Drano.
Nicky, how dare you say a thing like that to me? We're opening tonight.
Now, Nora, don't get temperamental again.
Well, I've got to be temperamental. Every star's temperamental. And I'm furious at you. Give me something to smash.
Here. I collected some old glasses that Eb doesn't need. He says they're good for smashing.
Thank you. That's better. Now, but I do think you're terribly, irresistibly smushing, Lord Cornish Simpleberry. Gay laugh, I'll do. Nicky, don't you want me to be a movie star?
Well, darling, frankly, no.
Why not?
Why, I hardly ever see you anymore.
Oh, naturally, my career, you know.
But, baby, you dragged me up here to take care of me. I'm being neglected. You know what happens to neglected wives.
Well, you're not a wife, you're a husband. Don't you know anything, Nicky?
Well, you know what happens to neglected husbands. The same thing as happens to neglected wives.
Oh, don't be silly, dear.
Will you stop that laughing, please?
Nicky, behave yourself or I'll get temperamental again.
Now listen, baby, I don't think you should go on with this.
I knew it. You're jealous because I've got a career.
Okay. I'm jealous.
Well, darling, I let you have a career as a detective for years, and now you won't let me become a movie star. Is that fair?
No, darling.
Well, then why do you want me to give it up?
Because...
Don't you think I'm any good?
Frankly?
Frankly.
Frankly, no. I said it, and I'm glad.
Give me a glass, please, Nicky.
Here, dear. Get rid of your disappointment.
Hey, don't aim at my head. Nora, cut it out. I changed my mind. You're great.
I knew you'd alter your opinion. Enter. I mean, I'm decent.
Sorry, Nora. You're wanted on stage for rehearsal. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
One of the actors just quit, and Mr. G, he gave me a part, too. I'm going to be Duke Lucyfoot Grenadier. Mr. G thinks I got a lot of plain, common, ordinary nobility.
Mr. G is a genius at discovering talent.
Yeah.
And, Nick, if you think I'm no good, just watch what happens at this dress rehearsal. But I do think you're terribly, irresistibly smoshing Lord Cornish, a simple Betty. Gay love.
All right, Nora, we will take the big jealousy scene between you and Myra. Now remember, Nikolaus is your latest flame who doesn't burn hot enough. And Ebenezer is your philosophical advisor who hates you and loves you both together. Who said that?
Nobody, Mr. G. That's just one of my ducks.
I wish I were sure of that. It sounded like someone was whispering Russian insults in a loud voice.
Hear that? I taught the duck to talk Russian.
Well, that explains it. Come on with the scene.
So, you dare enter my home, Penelope?
Yes, Lady Chatterlethorpe. To claim that which is rightfully me, of mine, Duke Lucyfoot Grenadier. You have never given me bad advice. What shall I do, my dear Duke?
Ebenezer, do you have a cold?
No, that's just my cow peeking in the door.
Oh, he would make a wonderful actor. Beautiful voice. Proceed.
Throw the little scamp out in the gutter. From whence she rose, my dear Lady Chatterlethorpe.
Lady Chatterlethorpe.
Yes, Colonel Biscay Rendango.
I can bear it no longer. Won't you call me Rumpy Dumpy as you did when we romped in the castle together in our childhood?
I will never call you Rumpy Dumpy again. That is all part of our hideous past, Colonel Biscay Rendango.
I deny that. To me, you will always be Princess Bunny Gunny, the golden-haired girl who taught me about life under the castle moat. What did you say, good noisy? Nothing. It was the goat out there.
Oh, that's funny. You sounded just like you.
I have a more beautiful voice than that miserable goat.
Oh, yeah, Mr. G? Let me tell you, that's one of the finest goats in Crabtree County. I bet you can't make a noise as fine as that.
I certainly can.
The goat sounds better.
Myra, are you turning against me too?
Can I help it if the goat has a lovely vocal organ?
Will you stop this? The curtain goes up in 2 hours, and I'm forced to talk to nanny goat. Shia! Speak!
Lady Chatterlethorpe, you are cruel beyond words. And I don't care what happens to me, even if I pay for this with my life. Oh, there. Oh!
No, that's no way to scream when you're shot.
But I was trying to do it with a British accent.
Aye, Krednoisky. We'll show you how to make screams with an English accent. Like this.
Ah!
See? You must scream like a lady.
Ah! Ah!
No!
Ah!
Oh!
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 Oh,
no! We
think I'm terrible, don't you? You think I can't act as well as that rooster?
I didn't say that.
Well, you're not much better than that nanny goat. Why do you let those animals come in here and upset me? I hate you all.
Nora, darling, come back here.
Back a little more yourself. I'll eat you someday.
Nora, darling, let me into your dressing room. Please, baby. I've got to talk to you.
Nicky, hasn't she come out of there yet?
No, Myra. I've been trying to get in ever since she ran out of the dress rehearsal, but she won't open the door. When's the curtain?
In just a few minutes, and the people are coming in now. Floyd Fresnay is out there.
Oh, the little scamp. Out into the gutter from whence she rose, dear. Dear lady, Chattel the thought. Business. Hi, Nick. How's Nori?
She still won't talk to me. Eb, if she won't let me see her, I won't be able to go on either.
Me too. I can't go on with these nervous upsets. How can they expect me to give a performance?
You got nerves too?
Yes, I have. I never had them till I become an actor, though.
Oh, how can she face those people with no confidence in herself? And I help destroy her confidence. Nora. Nora, darling, open the door.
Hey, look, she's turning the handle. The door's opening.
Good evening, fellow players. If you wish to see me, enter.
Nora, darling.
I just want you to know, Nicholas, that despite your cruel and heartless discouragement, I shall give a performance that will make people's hair stand up. And no one will ever know that I'll be acting with an aching, breaking heart.
You will, Nora?
I will, Ebenezer.
Oh, gee, you're a great trooper, Nora.
Thank you, my little dear.
And Nicky, sit on that chair.
Okay, but why?
So that I can get on your lap. Like this.
Myra, what's the idea?
Yes, this is indeed unusual behavior, even for an ingenue.
I'm doing it so that he can spank me easier. Nora, it was I who ruined all your rehearsals. I put food near the theater to make the animals come in the barn. I did it to ruin your career.
Oh, professional jealousy.
And I greased the outside of your dressing room hoping that you'd break your leg. Oh, I've been awful. Because I studied your part, and I wanted to play it and go to Hollywood and live in a mink-lined swimming pool. Now spank me, Nicky.
It will be a pleasure.
Thank you.
You don't have to enjoy it that much, Nick.
2 minutes, and the curtain goes up, Norrie. The house is sold out. Good luck.
Well, Norrie, we all want you to go out there and show them people what you can do.
There are people out there? Real, live people?
Hundreds of them.
Oh. Oh, Nick, catch me. I think I'm dying.
Well, Nora, I'm encumbered.
I got it.
Thank you, Ed. Myra, thank heavens you told me you know my part. For heaven's sake, go out there and play it.
What?
My dear child, I am going to sacrifice my career for yours. Anyone who wants to live in a mink-lined swimming pool as much as you do deserves to.
Yippee! Give me your costumes, Nora. I got to change. I'll send you a free autograph from Hollywood. Oh!
What happened, Myra? Did you break your little neck?
No, I slipped on the grease I put there to break your leg.
Nora, darling, I think this is wonderful of you. What made you do it?
I'll tell you after the show, but that's all part of our hideous past, Colonel Biscay Rendango.
And now for the conclusion of tonight's Thin Man adventure.
Myra was wonderful as Lady Chattel-the-Thorpe. Didn't you think so, Nicky?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad she got that contract from Floyd Fresnay.
She really played that part much better than I could have.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that, baby. You would have been great in it.
You didn't think so this afternoon.
I think so now, dear.
Oh, yes, when it's safe.
Well, Nora, I must confess, what worried me this afternoon was that you might have become a great star and you'd never have time to bother me or drive me crazy.
You really mean that, Nicky?
Yes, Nora.
Well, that's why I gave up my career, darling. I think you're much sweeter than a mink-lined swimming pool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Nicky?
Yes, dear.
Oh!
Nora, what's the matter? What's wrong?
I just wanted to show you I could do that scream properly. Oh!
Why? That's wonderful, Nora. The world lost another Helen Hayes in you.
I know it, my dear. I know it. But it's no more than any wife can do.
You mean every wife is a great actress?
She has to be, darling. And no professional acting in front of an audience could even touch the performances the average wife puts on for her husband.
You've got something there, dear.
By the way, how do you like me tonight?
Frankly, dear.
Frankly?
Frankly, you're a great detective.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll have you know that Floyd Fresnay was deeply touched by my interpretation of the role of Colonel Biscay Rendango.
Touched where, in the head?
He wants me to go to Hollywood.
What are they looking for, a new Boris Koloff?
You don't seem to realize what a talented man you're married to.
Oh, yes, I do, Nick. Are you going to take the offer?
No, baby. I'm giving up acting for the same reason you did. You're lovelier than sable underwear.
Why, thank you, Nicky. You know, dear, I don't think Lunt and Fontaine can throw as beautiful baloney to each other as we do. Here's your Oscar. Good night, Nicky, darling.
Be sure to listen next Tuesday night when Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer brings you another happy, merry, thin man adventure starring Les Tremaine and Claudia Morgan. Next week, the adventure of the multiple marriage, when Nick and Nora acquire a daughter and discover that it's easier to stay married than to marry someone else. The Adventures of the Thin Man is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois. And this is Ed Herlihy saying good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Adventures of the Thin Man, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 13th, 1948, on NBC. That wraps up this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for tuning in.